In Hebrews chapter 9 and beginning with verse 11, talking about our Lord and Savior and a wonderful reminder of all that He's done for us and what He's doing for us, we find in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 9, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." I'd like for us to think about that term, eternal redemption for us. Now, He didn't go into the holy place to get eternal redemption. He did that when He died upon the cross, when He shed His blood for our sins and paid the price that you and I could have forgiveness. Then when He ascended to heaven on that Lord's day, He went into the Holy of Holies, there in the very presence of the Heavenly Father, and there proclaiming, obtaining that He'd already obtained that redemption for us, and it's eternal redemption. It's not temporary. It's not by our works, it's by God's marvelous grace. And what a blessing it is. And we can always and need to always be praising Him in that redemption that He has for us and paying the price for our sins. There are many blessings involved in it. Look at First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. In First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, God sheds a light on the matter of our redemption. It's not anything that we've done or can do. It's a matter of what Jesus has done for us, that He paid the price. He bought us with His own blood. So in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your father, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Oh, what a Savior that we have. All of the sacrifices of the Old Testament could never redeem us at all. It was a picture of what Jesus would do for us. And the day came when He died upon the cross. He gave His life for us. He shed His blood. And we're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What a blessing we have. Now, the blessing in that is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, a favorite verse of mine, one that I love to read over and over again, because as I look at things that are going on around me, as I look at my own life and the frustrations that we have and the frustrations I even face with of my own self, in that I can have the assurance of my redemption through Jesus Christ and the benefit of it in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In whom," talking about Jesus, "in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." The forgiveness of sins, being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now we can have forgiveness, not by our merit, but simply because we've been redeemed, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have a time, really, I think, understanding forgiveness. We understand it sometimes in our own way of doing things. We want to tell someone that, I forgive you, but do it one more time. Just do it one more time, and that's it. No, you've never forgiven them. I'm glad that God doesn't say, okay, I forgive you for this, but if you do it one more time, that's it. That's the end of the road for you. No, we have eternal redemption and eternal forgiveness through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior. What a blessing we have. What a marvelous, marvelous teaching. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Every time I go to Romans, I want to go to verse 23. "And rightly so, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want you to notice now in Romans 3 and verse 24, many times we do not read this part, but it's so important. Seeing or being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified. That word justified means we stand before God just as if we had never committed a sin. That's hard to conceive. We want to still carry the guilt of some of the sin, and you don't need to carry the guilt of any sin. Jesus paid the full price for our sins. His blood was accepted for us as the redemption of our souls, and especially for the forgiveness of our sins. We need to learn that we're forgiven only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that we forgive others the same way. As we're forgiven by the blood of Christ, we need to forgive others by the blood of Christ. But the reason why we don't enjoy the blessings of God in forgiveness that we have of our sins through him, through Jesus, is that we think of that forgiveness like we do the forgiveness of others. Oh, I'll forgive them if they'll come and apologize. I'll forgive them if they'll start living the right life on that. God doesn't make that requirement of us. When we will repent and come to him in faith in the name of Jesus, we are forgiven because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a blessing we have. And that we need to honor God. We need to worship him for that marvelous eternal redemption that we have in the matter of being justified, standing just as if we had never committed a sin. I had a lady that came in to my office when I was pastoring in Weatherford, Oklahoma. Many years ago, and she said, I'm just accident prone. Every time I turn around, I'm in an accident. And she would tell about different experiences she'd have and how that she's always having this problem and having accidents. Things would just happen to her. And she said, I've repented of everything I know to repent of. She just couldn't understand why she's having all those accidents. After much counseling with her, finally came to the conclusion and realized, I said, well, your problem is that you haven't forgiven yourself. And when that became a reality with her, she said, oh, but you don't understand what I did. It was so horrible. And it was in her mind. It's so terrible. She said, how can I just be set free just like that? I said, I need to be punished. I said, that's why you're having all your accidents. You're punishing yourself. You're making yourself miserable as thinking that that would justify a forgiveness in your mind. No, we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he forgives all of our sins, not just some of them, but all of them. Praise God for that. And then look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. As we think about eternal redemption. This is not something that is temporary. This is not something that just happens by night. No, it's eternal. And Jesus made that eternal sacrifice for us. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. Talking about Jesus. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When we say we're redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we're talking about not only do we have our sins forgiven, not only do we stand justified just as if we'd never committed a sin before a holy, righteous God in the blood of Jesus Christ, but also that redemption made it possible for us to become children of God. Children of God. Think about that. Now we have a Heavenly Father that takes care of us. Now we have a Heavenly Father that's more concerned about our lives than we are. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us as children, understands us, and wants to know how sad it is, wants to help us, wants to take care of us. But oh, how sad it is with the redemption that Jesus paid for us, with the ability to become children of God, we still want to take care of ourselves by ourselves. We don't want God's help. when we need to realize that we are children of God, and my, the blessing we have of that. Regardless of what might come, regardless of what might happen in this world, regardless of what might happen in your own personal life, you are a child of God because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I'm not saying that every redemption, only those who come by faith through Jesus Christ, accepts that redemption, becomes a child of God. The blessings we have, the assurance we have of just being His child. And then we find not only do we become children of God, but I like this part in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Now this one has really got my name on it. I don't know about you, but I could probably name a few people that might fit this part in this. But Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2, the little book before Hebrews. Philemon and then Hebrews, Titus chapter 2, verse 14, talking about Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. It didn't say some iniquity, but all iniquity. Now notice that again in verse 14, who gave himself for himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people. Now that's me. And some of you would fit in that category just as well. I tell you what, I'm glad that I don't have to be like the world. I'm glad that I don't have to dress like the world. I'm glad that I don't have to talk like the world. I'm glad that I don't have to act like the world. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I have become a peculiar people, God's children, that live a different life, that has respect for life, that learns how to love God's way, not our way, but love by grace, learns how to touch the untouchable, how to talk to the untalkable. Oh my, what a blessing it is. A peculiar people and different. It's sad, and it really touches my heart in an alarming way when I see churches that try to compromise and say we need to be like the world so that they would feel comfortable coming in. Not on your life. We need to be that peculiar person that they would want to be, and they'll come in whether we're like them or not. Oh my, how we've been bought with a price. We're peculiar people. We're people that are owned by God. We've been bought with a price. We're people that are children of God. He's our Father. We're people that depend upon the power of God. We're people that believe in the miracles that can only come from God. Oh my, what a blessing we have. Not that we would wear something outrageous or have our hair dyed in a very unusual way and that everybody would notice that. I'll grant you one thing. If you will obey God's word and do what God would have you do, you'll stick out like a sore thumb in this society. Just telling the truth would make you stick out, make you very peculiar in our society today. To be honest, to be loving, to be caring, to have compassion for others. A peculiar people. I'm glad to be classified in that group, aren't you? Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That redemption not only deals with the forgiveness of my sins, the justification of my life, and the position that I have with God of being adopted and becoming a child of God, and that now I am a peculiar person, different from my intellect to my chain to be called a Christian. But that redemption not only talks to my intellect, to my thoughts, and to my words, and my actions on that, but it also deals with my body. That redemption, eternal redemption, not only includes my soul, it includes all of me, from head to toe, every part of me, and especially this old body of mine. Look at it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. What a marvelous passage in God's word is Romans chapter 8. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. It has so many things in that that can enrich your soul. And in verse 28, there's a statement that God has printed for us or has written for us that is very important in our lives. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, well, let's read verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it's talking about the animal world, physical world. Now, they're not in the position that they should be. When they were created, it was not who was the survival of the fittest and where they were eating one another and fighting one another. Because of our sin, that curse has been placed upon them. And they know that one day that curse is going to be lifted. And that's when we come back to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. And so it goes on to say in verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, now get this, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That means my soul is right with God. It is well with me. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That means my sins are forgiven. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That means I'm justified before God. But this old flesh that I've lived in for all these years is going to be redeemed. Oh, it's going to be raised like the wonderful, powerful, glorious, resurrected body of Jesus. What a day that's going to be when I will walk on this earth victorious, completely and totally, not just spiritually, but physically, this old body is going to be redeemed. Every time I think about that, I have the assurance and the hope. And this statement, I've learned to repeat and mean it from the depths of my soul. I will not, because of my redemption, I will not be defeated by old age. Man, when this began to take hold of my life, I would go around telling people, man, you got to be tough to get old. You're going to ache, and you got pains here and there and everything else, and you just got to be tough to get old. And I don't know how many, about everybody I talked to that was getting up in those years would agree with it totally. Yes, you got to be tough to get old. Getting old's not for sissies. But then I began to realize, hey, I'm letting old age get the advantage of me. Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, my body will be redeemed, and I will not be defeated by old age. Don't give up. I don't give up spiritually, and I'm not giving up physically, because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Have you been redeemed? Do you have that victory? We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. And how precious this is. I don't know how many times, and have not kept a record, and I should have. I've tried to keep a record of different things that happened in the ministry that God has given me in the pastorate over these many years. I did not keep a record of the funerals that I was privileged in many cases to perform. That of those who've gone home to be with the Lord. And how that we could have a victory service and not a defeat service. And then out the cemetery, I've been there with people who had no hope. And I've been there with people who have hope because of the redemption of our Lord and Savior that we have through him. My, what a blessing it is, and the victory that we have. Our bodies will be redeemed. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, and this always gave me assurance. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Man, there's not a note of defeat whatsoever in that. It's all victory because of Jesus, and we've been redeemed by his blood. Then it goes on to say, verse 53, for this corruptible must, and I like that word must, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Why? Why does this have to happen? Why can't we just die and go to heaven, you know, and get a new body up there? No, I not only my soul's been redeemed, my body's redeemed, and it will be raised. The reason why this is happening is in that next verse, verse 54. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The answer is, I've been redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have eternal redemption. And then in verse 56, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, my sins have been forgiven. And I stand justified before a holy God. Because of the redemption through the blood of the Lamb, I have total victory, not only spiritually, but physically. And so then I can say in verse 53, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not anything that I've done or anything that I could. I'm redeemed all through Jesus Christ. I'm not redeemed by my actions. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ. And I can give thanks to him for that victory. And then that gives me assurance. Regardless of what might come our way, regardless might happen, whether it be wars, depression, or anything else, we're able to say in verse 54, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a marvelous blessing we have. And that's not only of our soul, that's of our body. Total, complete redemption. And it is eternal redemption forever and ever and ever and ever. What a victory we have. Now we have a promise. Not only in the matter of what we have through the redemption, through the blood of Jesus Christ, but he is our Redeemer. Jesus. And our redemption draws nigh. Look at it in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. In this chapter, we're reminded of the things that will be coming, the things that will happen before the return of our Lord and Savior. And every one of these things are happening today. Every prophecy concerning the return of our Lord as the thief in the night has literally been fulfilled and been intensified. I've shared with you before, I remember back in the 60s and 50s, and when I began to preach and God had laid on my heart about the events that were to come, I would have to try to prove that a certain event was really the fulfillment of this prophecy. Now today, I don't even have to do that at all. Just mention it as so obvious. That is the fulfillment. It is time for Jesus to come. And in verse 28 of Luke 21, Jesus said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Isn't that beautiful? I could stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but I could lift up my head in difficult times, and whatever times that might come, and knowing that we are now approaching that time, my redemption is coming. Oh, it's time for Jesus to come, our Lord and Savior. It's described this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. What a wonderful thing we have. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we have complete victory not only in our daily life and whatever activities we might be involved in, whatever might come our way, however strong Satan might seem to be, however strong this world might seem to be, however strong sin might seem to be, we have the victory because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And even in death, we have the victory. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Our loved ones are now in the presence of God. They're with Jesus and he's about to come back and they're going to come back with him. What a victory we have. Now, when they leave to take that journey, sorrow will fill our heart. We'll miss their presence. But we don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. We know that we'll see our loved ones again. They're coming back with Jesus. And in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. All because we have eternal redemption. It might have been made and started in our lives when we were just children. It might have started in our lives when we were young people. It could have started in our lives when we were young adults. And even with some who are in their golden years, that redemption might have started their life. It will never end. Regardless of how we live or what happens in our lives, we have eternal redemption through Jesus Christ. We are redeemed, not by works, but by God's marvelous grace through faith. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Have you been redeemed? Have you done what God said to do? Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. What a precious passage. Simple enough for a child to understand and simple enough for you to understand. Are you redeemed? Have you done what God said to do? Not what man said to do, but what God says to do. In Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 8. But what saith it? Talking about salvation. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. It didn't say your works are near you. It said the word. What word? Where we confess Jesus as Lord. Where we ask God to forgive us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we become redeemed by faith. Look at that in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Can you sing with the others? Redeemed. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God if you can. If you can't, this moment, this time, you can be able to sing that. If you're willing to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, you'll repent of your sins and pray out loud and ask God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus. God said he would. At that moment, you'll be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. At that moment, you'll become a child of God. At that moment, you'll be justified. At that moment, you'll have forgiveness of your sins. At that moment, victory, total victory, is yours. Oh, praise God. Wouldn't you like to have that forgiveness? Wouldn't you like to have that victory? Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.